Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Philosophy Show. And today is May the 5th, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday nights, Thursday morning. I have the show every week. It's a half an hour show. It's a call-in show, and the guest call-in number, if you'd like to call in and contribute to this show, we can talk about anything. This is The Philosophy Show, and you can visit us at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. The call-in number is area code 646-929-1344. Again, that's area code 646-929-1344. Our episode today I titled The Three R's. It's not reading, writing, and arithmetic, rather reform, renaissance, revolution, and register. Anyways, it's episode 137. I'm sure you could add other R's there per se, but I'm sure you've heard that term, the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. And those are important things too, of course. And so the last couple of shows, I've noticed that if I write an article first and then just read it, I mean, it's an article I wrote, no one else wrote it, but I could read someone else's. There's lots of ways people do shows, like they could respond to like another video or blog and just go by the points one by one. They could read someone else's article and then just kind of give their summation of it. They could write their own article. They could just kind of go from the hip, and that's what I've usually done, or sometimes I've thought of a subject and just put some bullet points and expand on each one. Last couple ones, and I have written full articles before and just read them, and then we'll open up to phone calls, but I was just writing this article, and that kind of forces me to write once a week as well, and I think it just flows a lot better. I mean, it's my own words, and as I'm reading it, I do change it up a bit, expand, subtract here and there, and I'm actually just in the middle of writing, or actually I'm about 90% done writing this article, and honestly, the last few shows have been on Bernie Sanders, and so this will too, because he's calling for a political revolution. And honestly, I mean, he's more conservative than any of the conservatives. He's more Democrat than any of the Democrats. He actually, if you took all the candidates, Trump, Hillary Clinton versus Bernie Sanders, he beats all three of them. But he's in an uphill battle in the Democrat primary against Hillary Clinton. So the shame is, he might be the most popular candidate when you get to the general election, but his main fight is getting past this Democratic primary, and he still has a chance. And in most people, independents, Republicans, and Democrats all like him the best. Now, if it ends up being Trump versus Hillary, and notice I'm only choosing two candidates here, because we do have other parties like the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, and an independent might come up somewhere like Jesse Ventura or someone. And honestly, they might have a better chance this year than they normally would. But the media is going to give all the attention, all the election rules and the debates are going to be mostly the Republican versus the Democrat. And that's why Bernie, who has been an independent, you know, registered as a Democrat, so he's in the Democrat primary. So anyways, I'm just going to read this article here, and again, I titled it let's see here, the three R's. Not reading, writing, arithmetic, rather reform, renaissance, revolution, and register. Hashtag feel the burn. So I wrote last week that I still believe, and here's the article. This is what I start off with. So you can imagine like a scroll, like the Star Wars scroll coming down. And I wrote last week that I still believe Bernie can win this primary. And that was actually the last week's show on that article. It's called the Burnissance. It's the Renaissance. The question now is what will cause people to make a shift and change in mind, to get a light bulb go off, per se? What will cause not only a campaign to have a renaissance, but people to realize that it will create a renaissance for them as well, and that they have nothing to lose and everything to gain, and to be committed to it? Could it be the realization that Donald Trump is real, and that the best candidate to beat him is Bernie Sanders, and that's proven in all the polls? Or something more clear about the indictments looming around the corner for Hillary Clinton? Or also, could Bernie make a point or points that are more convincing, and all of a sudden, people are more convinced? A path to victory. It will make a great impact for Bernie to win the pledged delegate count with a more persuasive, it'll be a more persuasive case to put a lot of pressure on the party to nominate him. And however, if he doesn't win the pledged delegate count and contests the nomination anyways, in this case, I would argue that even if that seems less democratic, which what actually is more democratic is if someone like Bernie Sanders this year, who is leading everybody from all parties in every poll, to have a platform to run in the general election. In other words, to not be blocked by a duopolistic two-party system who only puts out the candidates from the base each election cycle, who are usually the most partisan, while the person who might be the most popular choice in the general election doesn't have a platform to run. What is undemocratic is to almost not even give an independent or third party a chance in the debates, which I think is illegal, nor having open primaries, nor all-day voting, nor enough polling stations where people have to wait in line for hours, nor instant runoff or rank voting. To get the revolution, you need to explain the reforms, appeal to everyone in unity and prosperity, and mix it up a bit, as Bernie does, and so does his surrogates like Rosario Dawson, Jim Hightower, and many more people and bloggers, etc., who have used good wit and good enunciation very effectively. This is the open source age or era, and we should feel free to apply some of that and learn from each other, and I'm sure he has done that, but the stump speech that he has needs a bit of a renaissance itself from time to time, as you hear the same speech over and over again for the same issues. And whether it's style versus substance, the best style is the substance of honesty. You can't go wrong with being honest, and if you know the issues and you know the facts, or what your principles are, and you know, and the process you think. And now here's what I think would be a great winning ad at this point in time for Bernie Sanders, would be one that can cover multiple issues in one message. For example, one that explains to register to vote, which will infer that the race is still on, that we still have a chance, and also what to expect and what needs to be done. It could be called The Remaining States, A Path to Victory. And then just list the remaining states. There's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, if you include Washington, D.C. And, you know, a victory for Bernie is a victory for, I also think, third party and independents and everyone who is against the system. I mean, honestly, everyone calls him a socialist, but he isn't. He's less socialist than actually even the Republicans running. And he's actually more capitalistic than them. He wants to get rid of crony capitalism. And, you know, he's for better spending of our resources, being more fiscally responsible, and for individual rights. And he voted against the Patriot Act, against the Iraq War. And the bad trade deals, and where corporations can sue countries because of their loss of potential revenue. Like if a country says, you know, we don't want to offer this product, they can actually, like, or we are putting these restrictions on cigarettes, saying, and then the company can sue that country saying, well, if those restrictions weren't there, then we had a loss of this much revenue, potential revenue, and they can actually sue that country to try to claim that nonsense when that country might have democratically elected to make it, you know, you have to be at least 18 or apply these taxes onto cigarettes. And eventually you could think of that as like states versus states, like if a company wasn't allowed to sell a product in states, but even the same things go, like, or if a state doesn't want fracking, so could a fracking company sue a state and say, you know, because of our loss of potential revenues because you didn't allow us to frack, then we want to sue you for billions of dollars. Now, the ad could, again, be called The Remaining States, A Path Towards Victory. And Bernie is, like, out of the establishment. He's been an independent his entire political career, where he was a mayor, a congressperson, a senator. He's always taken the path to narrow path, the principled path, voting sometimes with just a couple other people against the entire House, against the Patriot Act, you know, for protecting privacy. And, you know, he's against the drug wars. He's for a strong military, but against the big wars. He doesn't take any political action committee money. So I think if you had a commercial that lists the 10 different states, because one of the problems he's had is a lot of his supporters have decided to register to vote like a week before, and it was already too late to register. So they need to put an ad like this, you know, that can kind of throw in some extra little messages and have cool music and stuff. But first, West Virginia. I mean, that's the next. Bernie Sanders just won Indiana. That's the 18th state he won. There's 10 more states to go. The next one is a week from today, which is West Virginia, which has semi-closed primaries. West Virginians must be registered as a Democrat or undeclared to vote for Bernie. So they can't be an independent or Republican. So it's not completely open primaries. Open primaries means you can, you know, vote in the primaries once for whoever you want to. And that's going to be next Tuesday, May the 10th. And you have to have already registered. So if you're in West Virginia, if you're an undeclared voter, meaning no party registration, or a Democrat, you can vote for Bernie Sanders. At least they let non-party registrations vote. Kentucky is the next week, exactly 1 week from that on May 17th, and you had to have already been registered, and you can only be a Democrat to vote in that primary, even if you're independent or non-party affiliated. Oregon is the next one on May 17th as well as Kentucky, and Bernie is expected to win Oregon, and maybe, I think, West Virginia and Kentucky, he could win both of those. Kentucky might be a little harder, but I think West Virginia and Oregon for sure. And I think he could win Kentucky. He should compete in those states. Oregon is May 17th. It is a closed primary as well. And then after that, you get to June. And June is the last big one, on June the 7th. And there's a lot more open primaries there. North Dakota has open caucuses. There's no voter registration in North Dakota. You just show up the same day. California has semi-closed primaries. You have to register by Monday, May the 23rd. So you have about 18 more days to register, and you have to be a Democrat or no party preference. And you still have time to register, so this would be a good ad to put up there. As California's, if he can really pull off a huge victory in California, he can win. Montana has open primaries, and that's on June 7th. New Jersey has closed primaries, so if you want to vote New Jersey, you have to register by May 17th. That's only 12 days away. And you must register as a Democrat. So you have to change your party if you're Republican or independent. New Mexico has closed primaries. You have to register by May 10th. That's only 5 days away. South Dakota, also the last one on June 7th, has semi-closed primaries. You must register as a Democrat or undeclared by May 23rd. That's 18 days away. And then the final primary is Washington, D.C., and you have to register as a Democrat and register by Monday, May the 16th. And that is 11 days away. So that's very important to know. Now, ad or stump speech that Bernie could do is kind of to throw in a vision. You know, I mean, we do know that, you know, enough is enough, and which I like, and you should add that in there once in a while still. Sometimes it's good to go back to the main things that got you there. But kind of an imagine type ad. Imagine a world where everyone, regardless of their family's income, has the opportunity for the best education all the way through college, let's say. Not a guarantee of results, but of opportunity. Any kid growing up can know that they will be able to go to college if they study hard, regardless of their family's income. Just imagine that. I didn't say how that's done, but that is what the issue is. Imagine where our political system, when our political system represents all of us, not just the multinational corporations and the fat cats, where we have reform and are considered the most democratic and representative of all societies in the world. We're not considered the most democratic. There's a lot of countries that do rank voting, mostly in Western Europe, and they have multiple parties, and because of that, they have higher standards of living. Imagine where we lead by example in the world, being still the strongest country, and we promote peace and prosperity, and we promote trade and a path towards a higher living standard rather than a race to the bottom where we're competing against 70 cents an hour and where we have the highest moral grounds too. You know, it'd be a lot better for everyone if we traded with Iran and made them dependent on that trade, that interdependency. They wouldn't want to start a war then plus we'd probably make more money at it and have less destruction. We should at least try, and not saying it would work, but definitely could try. We'd probably have a lot more influence on them that way, and we could win the battle of ideas. We should debate them in the UN and stuff and, you know, make them have to stand for what they're doing. So I don't think a lot of it they could, but at least that we would have the moral high grounds. We could totally do stuff like that. We don't do it. It's almost like we want a boogeyman out there to keep the people in fear. And so that'd be less stress on our military. Some of our military have been on like 10 tours in a row. I mean, that's too much for most people. I mean, the people that want to should be able to, but I'm just saying that that's usually too much. It used to be like two tours and you're done, or one even. And now imagine where we don't incarcerate people for drugs. Rather, we help people with health care and respect individual rights. As long as people don't infringe on others, then let them do what they want. And yeah, imagine if our you know, we don't have the highest incarceration rates in any place in the world, but we have the highest graduation rates and the highest prosperity. Imagine where we have the highest graduation rates instead of incarceration rates. And we create the Al Capones. We create the gangs through prohibition. I mean, just look at the war in Mexico where like 40,000 people died on that border with this useless drug war. There's just, it's crazy. We're creating an unenforceable law and breaking civil liberties and creating something out of nothing and split millions of families apart for just simple drugs. And it's hypocritical when most people are out of their mind on legal prescription drugs anyways. But you know, it's almost like an inquisition. Imagine where we transform our energy sources and have the military lead the way of that instead of being the biggest polluter in the world and going to war over resources like oil, and we invest in the future to invent our way forward. Imagine where small businesses have an equal playing field as big multinational corporations. Imagine where we don't get ripped off with paying twice, sometimes more than that, for healthcare, and it's not to your job. And then in this article, I put a link to some of my previous articles as 2016 music. I created a really cool playlist of 90 videos of campaign music. I looked for music for everyone that was running, from Trump, Ben Carson, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Rand Paul, etc. And when I found original songs, I made a playlist. You can watch it at youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And most of it's Bernie songs, because honestly, that's where most of the enthusiasm is. Just like in 2008, there would have been a lot of Ron Paul songs. But these are, you know, this modern era's political songs and advertisements that come from the grassroots. And they're really creative. Some of them are really catchy. Some of them are funny. All different varieties there. I just have it listed based on the time it was created. And right now, I just write a post once a week, for the last couple of weeks at least, on the Tom Hartman community message boards. And you'll see it listed there as libertarian progressive in the domestic politics section. But, you know, I have a website, but, you know, I don't have, like, I'm not as good with the I will probably start putting some of my articles on there as well. I have the site very simple. I'm not into all the scripts and how to do all that right now. So why not just use another website that you respect and that you feel like you can get good opinion and is fair and objective you know, and collaborate with others and work with other groups and people, you know. They already have something there, and I can use it, so why not? And I like that place. So I don't agree with everything he says or anyone else says. But that's the main thing. I think Bernie should use the word renaissance even more. You know, I mean, how do you appeal to people? To me, it just seems so obvious. I mean, but people can change their minds on a split second, honestly. I mean, the right thoughts can change the world. I mean, the pen is mightier than the sword. I mean, like, and this is an example of Trump, how he's defined people, like Jeb Bush, low energy. Boom. I think that's really what pretty much, not just that, but that almost in itself did it for Jeb Bush. I mean, when Ross Perot ran in 1992, one thing that killed his race was he dropped out and then came back in. He was ahead at that point. If he never dropped out and came back in, I think he could have won. And that Saturday Night Live framed him in certain ways. And really, that's the only reason why Bill Clinton won that year, is Ross Perot. Because he ended up with 19% of the vote in a three-way race. At one point, he was at like 30%. and then he dropped out and then came back in. So I think, you know, the yearning for an independent has been brewing for a while, and but people just, as after that 1992 race, when people, the media, the establishment, the Republicans and Democrats, the duopoly, saw how advanced his camp, and he was a billionaire, and but how advanced his campaign was. And if you don't know who he is, just look up like 1992 Ross Perot debates. Very interesting. But after that year, the way they did debates all changed, and they created this new commission on how they would handle the general election and national debates. They would never allow a third party or an independent to get that close to winning again. The debates used to be structured and hosted by the League of Women Voters. It was taken away from them and put in charge of this new corporation where it has six members, three of them from the Republican Party and three from the Democrat Party, and they determine the rules of who gets to go in the debates and stuff like that. You know, so you don't think the party's rigged. I don't honestly get the party loyalty thing. I mean, I don't get why you don't, you know, if you like someone in what, like in 2008, I changed from an independent to vote for Ron Paul. And in this year, I'm changed to a Democrat to vote for Bernie Sanders. I mean, I don't care at all about the parties. I mean, what they do is they always elect someone from their base. So you always get the two extremes from each party because it's the base that elects the person who's going to represent that party. And then when you get to the general, you have these two very polarized figures from each end of the spectrum, and somehow they're supposed to unify the country. And the party has so many other things that they do, like they have different rules how an independent or third party can, they don't even use the same standards of how they get on the ballot, how they can debate, and the media attention they get. So but, you know, I think what's really important also is to vote in your Congress and person as well. I mean, you know, there's so much attention on the presidential election that sometimes that gets a back seat to the storyline that's going on here. And they're just as powerful, even though there's it's a many-membered body, so they might not all agree on stuff. But if this year we could elect 50 independents or third party candidates, and then 2 years later, even more, and then more and more and more over time, like in 10 years, it could be the Republicans and the Democrats who are the minority parties, who are the third parties. And that will change a lot. That will change. Sometimes it just takes a couple of things to frame something or to not see something in the same way anymore and to let that spread. And that is why the pen is mightier than the sword, very much so, the mind. So we got about 30 more seconds here, but I do thank you for listening. And if you do want to call in, definitely do so. We got 60 seconds, I just heard there. And so, again, this is a call-in show. We can talk about anything, philosophy, etc. So, yeah, I mean, what is that idea that you can contribute, you know? Because to me it seems obvious that we all want to do what most everyone wants, which is to treat others as we want to be treated. And, I mean, that's common sense. And we want a world that works that way. And the pen is mightier than the sword. So what valid arguments can you do to help change the world in a positive way and in this search for truth, even, you know, being able to criticize our own selves? So thank you for listening. We'll have another episode next week. Thank you for listening to The Philosophy Show.